Skinner.
I'm here.
Skinner here. Anderson.
Here.
Anderson here. Bradford. Here. Bradford here. Jackson. Mitchell.
Here.
Mitchell here. Stone. Wiener.
Here.
Wiener here.
Excellent. We have one item. And Senator Wiener, you may begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for convening this hearing on SB 785. And colleagues, thank you for entertaining the item today. Colleagues, I want to start by thanking the committee and its staff for working with us on the bill. We are, as indicated in the report, going to be taking the amendments today. SB 785 will make a significant procedural change to make sure that immigrants, including undocumented immigrants, feel safe coming to court to testify, whether as a witness, whether as a victim, in any capacity. The bill does not exclude any evidence. It does not make any decisions about what's admissible or what's not admissible. All it does is provide that if you are intending to ask a witness about his or her immigration status, that you can't just blurt it out in court, that before you do that, you have to bring it up to the judge in chambers. Both sides can make their arguments about admissibility. The judge will make a decision, and that will be the decision. We want everyone, including immigrants, to feel safe going to court. The minute people think that going to court might get them deported, that will undermine public safety. People will not feel comfortable. And in fact, we know that after the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court sent a letter to our Attorney General and the Federal Attorney General and Department of Homeland Security asking the federal government to stop, as she put it, stalking immigrants in our courthouses, the response from our Attorney General and the Secretary of Homeland Security was very clear. The federal government intends to utilize courthouses as venues for arresting immigrants for deportation. So this is not a made-up fear. This is a very real fear. This bill is pretty narrowly crafted, and it also allows people to voluntarily disclose their immigration status if they want to. This issue came to us because there were public defenders in San Francisco who were raising issues around whether witnesses for the prosecution were testifying for the prosecution in order to obtain a U visa that's available to certain victims of crime. However, I want to be very clear that this is not just about public defenders. Any attorney, whether you're a public defender, whether you are a prosecutor, whether you're a civil defense attorney, whether you're a civil plaintiff's attorney, could have a witness who's undocumented, and then you have that concern that if I put this witness on the stand, he or she might be asked and then could end up getting deported. Or conversely, any attorney representing any party, civil or criminal, could be in a position where you are tempted to impugn a witness based on his or her immigration status. So this is an equal opportunity kind of situation, and all we're doing is asking for this basic prophylactic. You got to make the case to the court first, not in public, about why it's admissible. So, colleagues, I ask for your support. With me today is testify are George Gascon, who's the district attorney of San Francisco, Marshall Kine, who's the chief of the criminal division of the San Francisco DA's office, and Chris Sanchez, who's a policy advocate for the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights.
Yes. Senator Wiener indicated this is really about public safety. I can tell you, without repeating all the things that were already said, in my over 30 years of experience working in public safety, When immigrant communities are hesitant to work with law enforcement and with prosecutors, when they're hesitant to go to court, when they're fearful of working with the system, we create a vacuum, and that vacuum is filled by criminal elements. And those criminal elements, as they start operating and increasing their activity, are not limited only to the immigrant community. I can tell you from personal experience, having been a career law enforcement officer in LA, going all the way through the rank of assistant chief, that in central LA, we had problems when we had a group of police officers that went rogue and started, without authority, reporting people to immigration or taking people into immigration status. And we started having cases where other members of the community that were not immigrants were being impacted. We had extortion by gang members. We had problems where we had victims of domestic violence not reporting crime. This is an issue that is not limited to the immigrant community. While certainly the largest impact will be on the immigrant community, and when I say the immigrant community, by the way, I'm not only talking about undocumented immigrants, I'm talking about all. Because the reality is that immigrant families are mixed. You may have one member that may be undocumented, or you may have a neighbor that is undocumented. If people within that community feel fearful about working with the police or coming to court and providing testimony, that vacuum will be impacting everybody else, and that will spread beyond the immigrant community. We've had cases in San Francisco that are reported, but I can tell you that this is not unique to San Francisco. I think if you talk to prosecutors in other parts of the state, they would tell you they have experienced similar incidents. And I can tell you also that if you were to walk into a civil court, sometimes when you have parties that are really wrangling over whether it's an eviction or an unlawful detainer, it's very easy sometimes for an opposing party to use the immigrant status of a person in order to get the means that they're looking for. So this is really about leveling the playing field. This is about removing, or at least reducing, fear in our courtrooms. Our courtrooms should not be a place where witnesses and victims are intimidated and do not feel safe coming to provide testimony. It is really critical, especially when you get into the arena of sexual abuse, domestic violence, elder abuse. So I urge you to look at this very carefully. This will not take any of the duties of a prosecutor to provide discovery. Brady obligations continue to function the way this should function. The only thing that we're asking for is that if you believe that a person's immigration status is important to the case, that you go into an in-camera hearing and that you have a judicial office make a ruling as to the relevance of that information before you start putting it out into the public arena. This is really about public safety, and I urge you to support it.
Next witness.
As a career prosecutor, I've witnessed over the past 18 years.
Could you identify yourself?
I'm sorry, Marshall Kine. I'm the chief of the criminal division for the San Francisco District Attorney's Office.
Thank you.
And as a career prosecutor, I've witnessed over the years how immigration status has caused fear and prevented many witnesses from wanting to come forward and refusing to testify. These fears have now been heightened to a critical status given federal policy, and I have seen how that has also turned into tactics by which undocumented immigrant witnesses and victims are being identified by name with vital personal identifying information in publicly filed documents and motions that currently identify who they are, where they live, where to find them, and their undocumented status. This has a chilling effect on them wanting to cooperate with law enforcement and testifying. This is something that I feel very strongly is a critical aspect of our ability to function as a prosecutorial agency. We have many undocumented immigrant victims that are targeted specifically because of the well-known feelings in the community that they're not going to come forward and testify and report the accused. We have seen how this has had a chilling effect on our witnesses and had an impact on our prosecutions. This measure only creates a procedural safeguard. It doesn't change any of the rules of impeachment, doesn't change any of the standards of evaluation, only creates one level of safeguard that already exists, but it moves it to a different stage in the process so that a court can make a determination before it's publicly aired and the damage is already done. In light of how technology is advancing and how some jurisdictions are moving to e-filings, I feel that publicly filed documents with the courts become much more easy to search. With the benefits that technology offers us, it also creates a far greater opportunity for any agency to go through and scan our documents to identify individuals that are publicly filed, not under seal. So I feel this is a vital component to our operations, and I urge the committee to support this measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Briefly.
Christopher Sanchez with Chirla, the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights. We're in support of the legislation because anytime California can provide additional protections to immigrants and their status, that's critical to us. So thank you, and we urge your vote.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, Dan Felisato on behalf of Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. Our position is still being developed. I just want to point out two things. One, we've talked to the author staff about one exclusion.
No, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. So you're a tweener. You're not in support.
My support is coming. It just hadn't arrived.
Okay. So I'm going to see if there's any other witnesses in support before we hear from you. And then I'll bring up the witnesses in opposition, and you can start on that, even though you're not in opposition, but you're a tweener. So any other witnesses in support, please come to the mic.
Leah Burnley from Californians for Safety and Justice in strong support.
Any other? Okay, witnesses in opposition.
Tweeners.
Tweeners, fine. We'll take tweeners. And tweeners, you did hear Mr. Weiner at opening with his taking an amendment. Just noting. He did.
Morning, Chair and members. Dan Pone for the Judicial Council. The council does not yet have a position on the bill as it just recently went into print. It's been somewhat of a work in progress. We have had some very productive preliminary conversations with the author staff and with the committee staff to, in an effort to try to clarify the scope and intent of the legislation. The council very much appreciates the author's agreement to take the amendment to that was noted in the analysis to clarify that it's the judicial officer presiding over the individual proceeding at issue as opposed to the presiding judge for the Superior Court. That's the one that would be responsible for conducting, you know, the in-camera reviews. The council is committed to working collaboratively with the author, his staff, the sponsor, the committee staff, and other stakeholders as we move forward to try to meet the goal of the legislation, but do it in a way that's as workable as possible to the for the courts. You know, it's going to Senate Judiciary next if it proceeds out of this committee, and there are just some mechanical and procedural issues in terms of trying to meet those goals that will need some work, and we look forward to that effort.
Right.
Madam Chair, members, Dan Felisato on behalf of the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office again. We don't have our official position. We've recommended a support position on this bill. There is one technical amendment we've talked to the author's office about, and that is for the handful of crimes where immigration status is an element of the offense. We don't think that they should be going in camera since it's something that I'm required to prove regardless, since it is an element of the offense. That being said, having prosecuted cases in East Los Angeles, Southeast Los Angeles, I've personally had several cases where witnesses came forward and were afraid to testify because they were asked beforehand whether their immigration status was going to come up. If this type of legislation passes, we can give them assurances this would be a good bill. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Ignacio Hernandez on behalf of the California Attorneys for Criminal Justice, Statewide Association of Criminal Defense Attorneys. We do not have an official position. We are one of those tweeners. I can tell you, though, having heard the proponent's testimony today, we probably have more concerns today than we did yesterday. We've had lots of conversations on this bill. Our primary concern has to do with how this bill applies to criminal cases. There are already significant protections for the situations that were described today. Primarily, the DA would have to ask the judge for some sort of order, either to exclude the public before certain testimony or an in limine motion so that the status of an individual is not brought up. So there are ways to protect. There are various ways to protect someone in the situation that was described as a witness. What this bill does in practice is essentially shift the burden over to the defense to have to ask early on in camera, and that for us is a bit concerning. We do share the concerns that we don't want ICE agents picking up individuals in the hallway. We don't want that to happen. We put out a statement against that as well. And so we share a lot of the concerns, but there will be situations where a promise of a visa from the DA as an incentive to testify is going to be relevant. And it should be up to the DA to ask the court to take some sort of protective measures, whether it's excluding the public or something else. It should not be up to the defense, because then essentially the defense has to disclose what his or her arguments are going to be. So that's the part that concerns us. If there are other ways to protect individual status, we get it. We'll be supportive. I'd personally be supportive of that. But if it's going to shift the burden between defense and prosecutors, that's where we get very, very concerned. And we'd be concerned regardless if it was immigrant status or anything else. So those are the concerns we have and available for questions.
At the mic, tweeners.
Maya Ingram, legislative attorney with the ACLU of California. We appreciate what the author is trying to do and have had discussions with the office about avoiding unintended consequences with the language, and will be concerned if amendments come forth that impose different standards on district attorneys and what they need to do to present evidence necessary to make their case and have a different procedure for criminal defenders presenting evidence necessary for their defenses, and look forward to continuing the discussions with your office.
Khalif Asagai, on behalf of the California Public Defenders Association. We too share concerns about this legislation. We submitted a letter to the author, and our concerns generally are around the ability to impeach witnesses along the lines of what was mentioned in the testimony by Ignacio with CACJ, and also workload issues as well as the shifting burden. So we're committed to continuing to speak with the author and work with the author to hopefully address our concerns as this bill moves forward. Thank you.
Senator Jackson, you had a question?
I did. And first, I want to thank you for addressing this issue. We have been expressing concerns, I think, in this committee and throughout certainly the Senate, and I'm sure the Assembly as well, since these various edicts have come down from Washington. Those of us who've had experience in the criminal justice system know how easy it can be to intimidate witnesses, and the notion that communities are less safe as a result of these practices was something I think we were all made aware of and realized ourselves early on. That being said, this bill raises a number of concerns, and I know that I've talked with the author about trying to cull it down as we go forward, and I appreciate the concerns expressed by both the prosecutor and the defense bar and the courts. This bill needs a lot of work before it really, I think, achieves its goal, and frankly, I'm not totally sure what you are trying to achieve. So my question is, what exactly is your main objective? Because I think that will help fashion this bill going forward, getting it through today and then working on it in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I have my staff is here listening carefully to that and your answer, because there are concerns. I can anticipate the Public Defender's Office will want to use whatever leverage and advantage it has in the protection of its clients, which is its responsibility. The district attorney also has a responsibility to public safety. What does that mean vis-a-vis what you're trying to accomplish here? Because that really will help, I think, all of us try to determine the best legislation to achieve that goal.
Sure. It's pretty simple what we're trying to. I'll just give you an example. And it may be if someone, a court can definitely determine that you can use this impeachment because it's relevant to the person's bias or motivation, potentially to exaggerate or fabricate. However, you can imagine a situation where an attorney goes in, they may know that or suspect the person's undocumented, have no clue whether the person is has, for example, a U visa, or there was a promise of a U visa, and just start up by saying, what's your immigration status? And then that person, it's right up in open court. And even if it ends up not yielding anything, there could be an ICE agent sitting right there, because we know they're stalking our courthouses. And so that's why we're saying that if you want to ask these questions, if you want to do it, you have to go before the court, not in public first, and proffer it, and then the court will make the ruling, as opposed to the court making that ruling after you've done these questions and on the public record. Or you could be submitting a motion, saying a public motion, without any previous ruling from the court, saying this person, we know this person's undocumented, and so we, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So but when you ask a question, what is your immigration status, a good attorney's going to stand up and object on the grounds of relevance, forcing you to make a statement.
Well, a statement, for example, and if I were that attorney, I might say, well, Your Honor, we have reason to believe that this person is undocumented.
Based upon what?
We have every right to, but then this colloquy is happening in open court, and I'm blurting out this person's undocumented. And even if nothing ever comes into evidence, or even if it's stricken from the record, in open court, I have just been blurting out, this person's undocumented. That's when the damage is done. Even if nothing comes into evidence, even if there's a mistrial because of it, you've now blurted out that this person, and I guarantee you, that person's not coming back to court for anything. I wouldn't if I were that person. That's what we're trying to address.
Well, I suspect that person's not going to come to court anyway for fear whether they are or aren't documented. It's a bigger issue here. And if I could we get a response? I appreciate that, but I think I'm not sure what the right solution is, and would appreciate perhaps if we could have the DA give a response, or the public defender even. I mean, that's...
Allow Mr. Guscone to respond. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, certainly in our experience, and I fully agree with what Senator Wiener is saying, we have seen cases where once the information is published, even if the court rules that it's inadmissible and it's stricken, it is out there, right? And sometimes we have seen these arguments even made in closing statements, right? The jury gets to hear it. Now, the court may say, you have to strike that. You cannot consider that. You and I know that as human beings, we're incapable of simply wiping away that information once it's out there. And what we want to make sure is that it's a clear ruling from the court. If I believe as an attorney, whether it's a prosecutor or a defense attorney, that this information should come in because it is relevant to my case, then I need to show cause. And then we are providing opportunity for the court to examine the evidence and determine whether it's going to be relevant and whether it's not going to be overly prejudicial. And then if that is the case, then it can be made public. There is absolutely no limitation to using this information once it is ruled to be relevant. There is absolutely no limitation in what the Brady obligations of the prosecutors are going to be. If we are working on a U visa for a victim or witness, we have to disclose that to the defense, and we will. And then it is up to the defense to use that information in whatever way they deem appropriate in order to represent their client. What we are trying to do here is we're trying to prohibit the practice of simply publishing this information to damage and intimidate victims and witnesses. I can tell you, having worked in minority and immigrant communities all my life, both as a police officer and as a prosecutor, we have a tremendous challenge bringing people into the courtroom and working with the police for good reasons, right? There's a tremendous amount of distrust in minority communities and communities of color. We just don't want to add more to that already existing mistrust.
Thank you. I understand. I understand the goal. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Jackson. And Senator Anderson, before I call on you, I just wanted to state that committee staff have obviously analyzed the bill, have met with the author, have met with many of the stakeholders, And while there are these concerns that are expressed by the tweeners and kind of in the line of questioning that you raised, we've not found a particular area where this bill upsets any existing protections or existing law. And while, as you indicated, the perhaps these are bigger issues, we felt appropriate that we're in a circumstance now where we need as much as we can within our powers to provide undocumented folks as much, I'm going to say safeguard, knowing that we cannot fully. We cannot, because the federal federal jurisdictions, given that, for example, there was the choice by Homeland Security not to include our courts in safe zones, the federal jurisdiction will always preempt ours. And yet, we know that in the course of trying to ensure public safety and justice and proceedings on in courts, we need our victims, our witnesses, and our, we need everybody to come to court. So we need to create as much of a circumstance where of safety as we can. And so that is why we felt this bill was appropriate to move forward, and we appreciated Senator Wiener's amendments. But now I'll go to Senator Anderson.
I before coming to this hearing, I thought this was pretty straightforward. And the more we get into it, the more confusing because of the multi-layers. Look, I want witnesses to come forward. I want them to speak up against MERS, rapists, and child molesters in their community. And I want to go after those people, and I don't care about their legal status. They're harming everyone. But as I'm walking through this and listening to it, if we pass this, if an attorney thought that the DA was buying them off with visas, the witnesses, and that perhaps the witnesses weren't sounded in their in what they've seen, couldn't they just go and contact ICE in advance and say, we believe this person, and this bill wouldn't have any impact whatsoever? The ICE agent who's sitting there already has been tipped off, no matter what the court rules.
Sure, I'm not here to say that this is like the global solution to every aspect conceivable in terms of immigration and the federal political dynamics. But we know that we have a specific issue where people in open court are asking these questions, whether or not there's a basis for it, and then the damage is done, and people don't want to come back. Anyone can report anyone to any government authority. But this is a specific issue where we want people to feel safe walking into a courthouse. And if they don't feel safe, if they feel like they might get deported and not be able to go home at night, they're not going to go. And public safety will be undermined. And courts should be a safe zone. That should be sort of this neutral zone where anyone can go, and it's all going to be good. That's why we're doing this.
The, you know, I spoke in terms of the attorney, but it could be a family member. It could be anybody who knows who the witness list is, and then they turn around and report everybody, whether it's truthful or not. The other issue is it just seems like we're applying this at the wrong point. You know, we have, after this hearing, we're going to have a hearing on public safety budget, and we don't... It seems to me the training is so crucial moving forward for both DAs and public defenders. It seems to me that this is, it's really about preparing them to understand and not just be throwing up every argument whether they think it sticks or not. I mean, I'm just saying that I think it needs to go much further than this. Well, I've listened to both sides, and both have made excellent points. What would you think about making this a pilot program for 3 years to see if it actually has impact, as opposed to just passing it, and then it's in the books, and no one goes back to review to see if it's having the outcome that we want it to have?
I'm not prepared to accept that amendment now. We're going to continue to receive feedback, and we have actually there are additional ideas that came in after the deadline for this committee. So between now and Judiciary, we'll be working on more. But we will certainly take that under consideration, Senator. And I appreciate the idea. I don't like to. I think that sometimes the legislature is too. We're too quick to do to turn things into pilots or temporary programs or sunsets, and sometimes it's appropriate, but sometimes it's not. So we're happy to give that some thought.
Well, I you know, I'm listening to testimony on both sides, and the last person that spoke has swayed me. So I've gone for and against. And I was just thinking, if it's a pilot program, at least we'd have a chance to really evaluate it, and if it's not working, to address that issue. Because, you know, as I said before, I think it's really important that witnesses come forward to pursue people that are dangerous in our communities, and that they get the full weight of the law applied to them. But I'm also worried that people cut corners and that we're going through all this effort and it may not have the impact at all. Yeah, I just want to make sure too often the legislature passes things and then we never evaluate it again. And whenever it has a sunset, it forces us to look. That's the reason why I like the sunset, just to ensure that this has the outcome that we're intending.
Oh, another approach to that, instead of sunsetting, it's just to require a report back to
the legislature. Nobody reads the report.
But then we get caught up in appropriations on that. Yeah.
Nobody reads the reports.
All right. Thank you so much, Senator Anderson. And Mr. Weiner, you might. Oh, okay. Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to thank the author for this bill. But I, too, have concerns, as been raised by Mr. Hernandez. It seems like procedures are already in place to safeguard this information from being disclosed publicly in a court situation. And I'm still kind of lost as to what we truly achieve with this vehicle moving forward. So I'm all for protecting witnesses and encouraging them to participate in the judicial process, whether it's civil or criminal. But I'm still kind of confused based on what I heard from the public defenders as well. That seems like procedures are already in place.
Yeah, they're not in place, because right now, any attorney can just include someone's immigration status, whether it's through questioning or whether it's through a pretrial submission. And right now, if you want to exclude through a motion in limine someone's immigration status, you have to then, you're disclosing their immigration status. And the procedure to seal a proceeding is very cumbersome. This is a very simple and an elegant approach. It's not excluding anything. We could have tried to exclude it. The bill last year by Assemblymember Gonzalez Fletcher did do that in personal injury cases. It just blanket excluded immigration status. We're not doing that here. All we're saying is that if you want to present this evidence, and this, we have this already in certain sexual assault cases. In sexual assault cases, if you want to present evidence in certain circumstances about a victim's past sexual conduct, you can't just present it. You have to go to the court first and have that admissibility determined, because we determined that that is a sufficiently sensitive and explosive kind of evidence that we want the judge to make a preliminary determination. That's what we're trying to do here. We're not excluding any evidence. As I've indicated, we are continuing to get feedback, and you've heard from the various criminal defense organizations that they're not in opposition to the bill. They're watching, they have concerns, and they're working with us. And so what we're asking is, in the 3 weeks between now and we have a tentatively scheduled judiciary hearing, if it gets out of committee today, is that we continue to work with these stakeholders on both sides of the aisle to try to come up with something that we can all support. And to be clear, this requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature. So we need to build broad support, and we're very well aware of that.
Thank you, Senator Weiner. Senator Bradford, I'll go to Senator Jackson.
Thank you. I want to express my interest and concern. I think the concerns articulated here all have merit. I want to move the bill and continue as this bill moves to judiciary, be able to work with you on that. There are some things, I have some ideas that are just percolating as we sit here. I know there are a lot of people that do. I think it's an important issue. We need to keep working on it. So I'm going to move it with the understanding that we'll see how it evolves as it comes to the Judiciary Committee if the bill does move forward. So I move the bill.
Thank you. We have a motion. And I already accepted your close. So we will now have a roll call.
Motion is due pass as amended to Judish. Skinner?
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Bradford? Jack? Bradford, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Stone?
No.
Stone, no. Wiener?
Aye.
Wiener, aye.
All right, bill's out 5-2. And given we have no other business, we will now adjourn the Public Safety Committee.